for then. PG, good morning. How are you today?
Fine.
Great.
And good morning to
her. You gave us a small scare.
Oh, I'm fine.
But we're happy you're fine today.
Yes, I'm fine.
And thank you for coming.
You're welcome. And let me say good morning to our listeners as well.
Great. Today you've been abandoned here all by yourself.
I know, right?
Reverend Kofi Boateng. Kofi is joining us via Zoom and Ariel as well. Thank you for joining us. Kofi and Ariel,
thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Adam. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you. So this morning, we're asking a very simple question. Is it that simple? I don't think so. I'm sure by the time we get into it, we'll realize that it's not that simple. So we're saying that you haven't loved until you have had to forgive a grave offense. And we are wondering, how true is that? The argument came up very strongly that, I mean, you can actually be in love with somebody who loves you back when everything is fine. I love you. I care about you. You guys are happy together and all that. When everything is, of course, but that's ideal. That's what we all expect, that once we are all in a relationship, everything is flowing very nicely and peacefully. But will that love still stand the test of time? When it is offended, when it is tested, when it is shaken, when it is broken, and you feel like strangling the person and killing them, are you still able to love? And the argument is that until you have gone through that and still stand to say that I love you regardless, you haven't loved. Remember when it came up, a colleague of mine said, why? I be Jesus. Yeah, but it's funny, but I mean, and then interestingly, we all know that love goes through some of these very tough times.
Right.
Sometimes they survive, sometimes they don't. So first I want to pick your thoughts on what you think about the statement, and then we will look at what will make somebody be able to forgive and go past those offenses, and we'll name some of those very huge ones and still say that I love you. What will the aftermath be like? Will they be putting it in your face every time there is something? Will you still have your relationship back the way it was? And for those who are not able to go past it, what really could have been the problem? That's what I want us to look at this morning. So I hope the tone has been set and we are very clear, right? Ariel. Ariel.
Yes, madam.
Okay, great. You heard me, right?
I did. I heard everything.
Great. Reverend Kofi Boateng, the same. And then, so PG, as you're here, let's start with you.
Okay. All right. Adam, so first of all, when we start relationships,
mm-hmm.
when relationships start, you know, whether it's at a dating stage or we've gone past it and we are married, usually there is a period of, you know, superficial love. You know, that love has not been tested, that love has not been jolted, that love has not been sent to the deep sea. So it is just floating at the shore and everything is perfect. It is when the love goes through some form of offense, when the love goes through some form of a challenge, that the real foundation of the love is exposed. So if the real foundation of the love, after it's gone through some challenge, is exposed, then we get to determine whether indeed it was actually a genuine love or it was just something superficial. And so those who really love genuinely, they find ways of going past the offense. You know, so their love then comes to a point of saying that, or we come to a point of saying that their love is not conditional. You understand that? Their love is not conditional. It's unconditional.
Conditional, yeah.
Exactly. It's an unconditional love because it is not hinged on your rightness or the wrongness. You understand? So it's that for the lover, who also is also the head party. But then again, sometimes it's also a function of where the head party stand vis-a-vis the offense. Because, I mean, in my practice, I've had people say that, PG, cheating is not a thing. That will make me lose my mind. So you see, two people cannot even define what a grave offense might probably be. So it becomes very individual and very private. Somebody says, I grew up in a polygamous home. My dad was like chronic. He was like all over the place.
Very subjective.
And I just grew up making my peace with that. But if a man touches me, or even if he raises his hand because he's upset, that is a ground for divorce. So again, it's also a function of where I'm standing with the offense.
Mm.
Because you might do something that you and everybody around you might consider very grave.
As in where the offended is standing.
Yes, sorry. Where the offended person is standing, you know, with regards to the offense.
Mm.
Yes. So everybody thinks that this one, Charlie, your spouse will help you. This one, you've gone to a certain level. And then a person is just looking at you and like, you know, you're human. And there's something that rather nobody actually thought could trigger a certain tsunami of response actually triggered us. You understand? So there is that. And then again, I also think that it's also a function of sometimes what people start to gain in the marriage. And especially for women, you know. I mean, a lot of women have had to, you know, make peace with whatever they are getting, whatever offense they are going through, because there is an economic benefit there. The marriage itself is a form of economic way out for them and their family. So they are hurt, but sometimes they don't even express their hurt. They don't even talk about the hurt. They don't even admit that they are hurt, because just admitting that hurt might offend somebody. The one who has offended you get offended by admitting that they have offended you. So they keep it quiet because there is a benefit, or it's a gain. It's actually not that they are opportunists. Actually, sometimes their life depends on it. So sometimes, you know, it also makes them have a certain position or posture towards their own personal offense. But I think that all in all, it is at this point that a lot of people get to determine whether actually what they have as marriage, as relationship, has a new foundation or not. And it is what happens from there that determines whatever we do afterwards.
Okay, so in simple terms, when we are looking at the topic as we placed it,
right,
must somebody, you've talked about all the functions of it, especially so the one, it's where the offended person is standing with the offense, because right, we all see things differently.
Exactly.
So must a relationship go past a place like that to be able to say that this is a real love relationship?
Well, if we use the word must, then we make it an imperative, which means that at some point in time, every relationship has to. But then sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
No, not has to, but to mean that if ever the relationship goes through such a turmoil, can you only define love after one has truly forgiven and has the relationship back?
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes people intentionally agree not to cross certain thresholds again, because they've crossed it in different ways, at different levels, and they've constantly talked about it. So the day that catastrophic offense takes place, they're like, listen,
that's it.
I'm sorry. We can't do beyond. He kept giving each other crumbs. Now, listen, we are going on board. Now, you didn't mind. You didn't take me serious. Now, you're going to do this, and it costs you this. Take a spouse who is into bed, for instance. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm against anybody. But you get what I mean? You are betting 500. You are betting 200. Now, you are betting our whole savings.
Yay.
You get what I mean? So, it gets to that point. The person says, no, I can't do this again.
Mm.
You understand? So, yes, there is a place where you get to. A relationship can go beyond it, and it won't necessarily even show love. Sometimes, like I said, so for a typical example, the woman in the economic position, she has to go past that.
Mm.
But does that mean I love you? Actually, I loathe you. If I get the chance, I will put something in your food. But I need the money. I need you to take care of me. So I'm staying. I'm pretending. But I don't love you.
Okay.
Exactly. And then there are those who also get there, and they're like, listen, I won't do this again. But some people also cross over, and it becomes like a jolt for their own marriage. Like, wow, I didn't think my husband could get so upset about these little things I wasn't paying attention to the point that he can do this. I think this is a wake-up call for me. If I don't set up, much as this hurts me so bad for what he's done, I realize that there is a potential for him doing something crazier if I don't set up. So it becomes something for them to set up. And you find that a lot, especially when it comes to infidelity. There's a lot of partners who are intentionally withholding themselves, intentionally not taking good care of themselves. The sex is, you know, boring and everything. And then it happens.
again, please, let me just say this. I'm not saying that it's a ground for that. I'm just saying that sometimes when it happens, it brings the other party to themselves. That, wow, this is my fault. Because from day one, the man kept saying it. From day one, the woman kept saying it. From day one, the signs were there. I knew I wasn't good enough. I wasn't doing enough. And I didn't really take them serious. So maybe I guess I have to make peace with that. And most often it happens, actually. So yeah, there are different sides to that.
It's not as simple as we thought.
It is not, Adam. It's not.
Okay. Let me put you a real in the middle. Hello, Ariel, can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi, okay. You can hear
me? Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So I want to pick your thoughts.
Yes, I can hear you.
Your thoughts on our topic. Must you go past a grave offense to show that you truly have loved?
Okay. For me, you don't have to go past a grave offense to show that you love someone. Because forgiveness itself is not for the offended. It's not for the offender. It's more for the offended, the one who feels offended. And so if you are able to forgive, you are actually also saving yourself or protecting yourself. Forgiveness is a tool. And so if you are able to forgive grave things, it also serves you more than it serves the offender. I have seen that forgiveness is something that takes a lot of courage, and love takes courage. So if you love someone and they've done something that is grave and you can forgive, it means you're also serving yourself. But you can forgive, you can stay in a relationship not because you've forgiven, like PG is saying, but because you have another benefit why you've decided to actually let go. So you can't measure that the fact that someone forgives a grave offense means they love that person so much. They may have different views, they may have different reasons why they are even forgiving. And so forgiveness again and the offense depends on an individual perception. And perception matters a lot when it comes to what somebody finds offensive. Because for me, some things that people find offensive, I may not find it offensive. But I have come to learn that if I look at things from the perspective of the other person, it's easier for me to actually let go and forgive. So the question we are having here is relative to individuals and their perception of the offense. But if you forgive, that doesn't mean in that instant that means you love the person so much. It also means you love yourself enough to let go of how much the unforgiveness affects you. Because like I said at the beginning, forgiving is more about you who is offended than the offender. It releases you, it gives you the opportunity to move forward and releases you of the emotional toxic you are beholding onto. So it's relative, like I'm saying. I wouldn't say that because someone forgave a grave offense, it means that then they love the person so much. But it helps that it shows you care about what you share with the person. So if you care about what you show with the person, then you are able to also let go and forgive so that you can hold on to it. It could be because of children. It could be because of investment. It could be because of a benefit you have about the relationship. That's why you are forgiving. And that is all good. But to loves the person so much, I would say it's relative. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll hear from Kofi and then I will say what's going through my mind as you were speaking. But the point I really love here that you made is the fact that forgiveness also helps you, the person. It means that you love yourself well enough not to dwell in hurt, in offense. And for me, that's really very, very instructive. It releases you. And then, you know, you are also a happier person than, you know, holding. Even if you don't have to live with a person anymore, what it does is that it releases you. And the fact that it tells that you love and care about yourself well enough not to dwell in hurt and offense. I love that point very much. Reverend Kofi, must you forgive...
Hi, good morning again, Adam. Good morning.
Must you forgive that thing? That thing, like you, before you're able to say that you have loved?
Adam, I believe so.
Wow.
First of all, Adam, I mean, what is forgiveness? You know, I would describe forgiveness as an intentional or deliberate act of letting go a pain, bitterness, resentment towards someone. And in this particular case, towards the person that you love, towards your husband, towards your wife. And we know that it's easier to forgive someone from a distance, someone that you don't interact with, someone that you don't have a relationship with. You know, some people can actually get so angry at a politician who said something on TV or radio or and so on and so forth. But those things, at some point, you can just let go, because really, these guys don't live in your home, or you don't have to interact with them or engage with them at any point in time, if need be. However, when it comes to your spouse, the person that you professed to love for better or for worse, in good times and in bad times, when they betray you, when they lie to you, when they do things that you least expect of them because you trusted them so much, it hurts. And so for you to be able to forgive them or let go, it means that you must have something for them, and there has to be something that you treasure, something that you value and want to keep. And that is the love that you have for them, or the relationship that you have for them. So I believe that for you to be able to forgive, you have to love someone. Even though, as Ariel rightly said, you do it for yourself, because when you forgive, you release yourself of the pain and the resentment and the bitterness. In a way, you free yourself, and then you give yourself peace of mind, and it's also better for your own well-being. But if you don't love someone, then it's what's the point in even trying to forgive them? So I believe that you have to be able to forgive someone that you love, or before you know that you truly love someone, by going through that, that sacrifice of letting go of something that hurts you so deeply.
Kofi, I can actually hear someone ask a question or say that, okay, so if you say you love me so much, you care about me so much, didn't you also think that what you were doing was going to offend me? Did you think
the line
about
is breaking up a little bit?
Oh dear, is it better?
A little bit better. I don't know if it's my connection,
because we can hear you very well. PJ, you can hear him.
Okay,
right?
I can hear you now.
I was saying that I can actually hear someone say that. Didn't you think about it when you were doing whatever it is that you were doing? Didn't you know that it was going to hurt me? And if you didn't care about how I would feel, why should I care about how you feel now and say that I am going over and above to forgive you and still have the same relationship with you?
Well, I think at some point, Adam, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the offenders, the people who have offended us, and think about the many times that we have also offended others that we have been forgiven, or even the same person who has offended us, your spouse, the many times that you offended them and they forgave you. Think about the scenario very carefully. Would you have acted differently? There's a good chance that you could have done the same or even worse. And so once, and I'm not saying that you do these things to justify the actions of the offender, but when you go through that process, it becomes difficult, easy for you to sometimes understand and appreciate where they're coming from. And especially in a case where they have shown remorse, They have apologized. Really, there's not much more you can do than to forgive and move on and live in peace with yourself.
Okay. So, Kofi, are you saying that until you have done that, you can't say that you truly loved your partner?
Well, that is not exactly so. Of course, you can love someone. But you see, Adam, the difficulty with forgiveness is that when you're in a marital relationship or in a marital situation, you're expected to reconcile. Because you can't say that I've forgiven you, but now I won't do this with you anymore. I won't do this and so on and so forth. It's almost like you're bringing the relationship to an end if you want to forgive and not be able to reconcile with that person, because you're going to live with this person. You're going to have to do things with them. You're going to have to make love to them and continue to do a whole lot more with them. And once you're holding on to some aspects of forgiveness, or you don't want to let go, then it becomes very difficult to do these things for them. It becomes difficult to cook for them. It becomes difficult to support them financially and all the other things that you contribute to, or all your marital responsibilities to this other person. So yes, I believe that you have to love to be able to forgive.
Yes, I agree to you have to love to be able to forgive. But must you forgive to prove that you love?
It's a tough
one, isn't it?
Question for me. But I believe if you love, you have to be able to forgive.
Okay.
Good. Especially if you want to maintain and retain the relationship.
Okay. I hear I won't push any further, but I want us to progress.
Thank you for not pushing it.
Because I remember when we were discussing this around here, there were so many thoughts and so many opinions. But I think the one that really reigned was the question I asked Kofi earlier about... Well, it was you, PJ, I put it to, about the person saying that if you loved and cared about me enough, why did you do this to disturb the equilibrium of the relationship?
Right.
And when you were doing it, did you think about how I was going to feel? Yeah. Did you think about how I would react? And if you didn't think about it and you still went ahead to do what you did, then you shouldn't try to dictate how I would react. You shouldn't try to dictate you take.
Yeah.
Because you had the opportunity not to do what you did. But you made a decision for it.
Right.
So don't dictate my actions. And don't... So your action... did it mean you love me? That my actions have to prove love to you?
Well, Adam, I think that, you know, now I like the last bit where you picked it from.
Yeah.
Most often when we offend people, mm-hmm. we think that after we've said we are sorry,
yeah,
and we won't do that again, it was a mistake and everything, the people should just move on
exactly.
quickly. You know, so you offend me and you also want to detect my emotional reaction
exactly.
or response. That is so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I came and I was sitting in the car, that was one of the things that was, you know, running through my head. That,
yeah.
Can we give people time to heal?
Mm-hmm.
Can we give people time to heal at their own pace? Can we not push people, force people? Because for so many people, it gets to a point, they literally bury their pain just so they can move on. Because everybody thinks that you've held on to this for so long. And so long could be a week. So long could be a month. Something that people can take years to deal with, you know. So there is that.
And some people can also let go at that instance.
Exactly. But coming to the other part of it, what were you thinking when we were doing that?
Mm.
Again, Adam, I think that for some of these things, we also need to look at the nature of the offense and how it progresses. Because for some of them, it is not something that you do one day. It is a repetition. It's something that you keep doing. But you see, at the time you keep doing these things or you were doing them, you never thought you could be caught. So sometimes we find solace in the knowledge that it might not come out.
Mm-hmm.
And once we know that, then it kind of numbs us to the potential pain that our you know, our partners are likely to feel. Because first and foremost, when we think about what we are doing, we don't even see them getting to know, let alone for them to feel the pain.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we are doing it. And so when it comes out, you realize that the person genuinely sometimes feels very sorry because, yes, this is a mess, but I didn't think you should find out. You understand? So there is that. Then there is also how we perceive the potential fallout. Even when we feel that they will find out, we sometimes don't understand. We don't picture properly their emotional response. And so sometimes we do these things and we think that, oh, the person is just going to cry a little bit, get upset a little bit, we
and
apologize.
Then
you realize that the person is not letting the thing go. Now it's becoming depression. Probably the person is getting, you know, mental breakdowns and other things. Then you realize that, okay, I don't think I anticipated
all of these.
Yes, all of these things. So I think that it is the selfishness in us. The feeling that it will not come out. The feeling that if it does come out, we can manage it. And then all of that. And sometimes our poor judgment there. That is what leads to all of these things. I always say that. I use this example. In most companies, at the factory ground, if they want to change workers' behavior, they just install cameras. Are the cameras working or they are not working? The cameras are there. Your behavior will change. You will change. Or IT people will tell you that we have a way of monitoring your screens. Who will go to work and be doing Facebook or be watching porn or on office computers because you know it can be found.
Yeah.
So when we know that potentially something can come up or something can be found, it modifies the way we behave. But where we feel that nobody's watching, nobody's seeing, nobody cares, sometimes we become a bit reckless, you know, and therein lies some of the, you know, challenges that come up. So I think it's more of perception.
And then I believe that in that recklessness, when eventually the offended finds out, you forget that he or she also goes through, I can't believe you did this.
Yeah.
They go through that.
They go through that a lot.
They are shocked at your actions and wonder, how?
Were you not thinking it? Were you not processing it?
No, it's not a matter of were you not processing it, but they trusted you so much that they didn't think that, like, you could do a thing like this. So all the while you had all this room, you thought I was stupid, you thought I was foolish, you know. It was because I loved and trusted you. That's why I placed you on that pedestal.
Right.
And so...
Adam.
Yes, Kofi.
I agree with PG when it comes to holding our spouses accountable. But one of the things that we have to remember is that we are not in control of the actions of our spouses or of other people. We control our actions, and that's why I started by saying that forgiveness is a choice. You know, it's a deliberate action. We have to focus more on doing this for us and not them. You know, because at the end of the day, we should remember that unforgiveness has a way of creating an identity for us. You know, we walk around and it's almost like there's this big stamp of bitterness on our forehead, and people see it and they are repelled by that. And so because you have issues that you're not able to let go at home, you take it to work. You go to work and you're bitter and you're angry at everybody. You take it to the community, anyone that you interact with. You go to church, everywhere, and you are just such an angry person because of something that somebody has done to you at home. And you may even leave that relationship and still carry it on to future relationships. So ultimately, we do these things for us because we control our emotions, we control our actions. But on the other hand, we don't control what our spouse will do. So if you think that you're being unforgiving because you want to hold them accountable, you are hurting your own self.
Great. Thank you, Kofi. Ariel, I'd like to pick your thoughts on, you know, where we are so far. And then I'll move to the next phase to find out, okay, when you say you have forgiven, what have you done? What does it mean? Because there are lots of people who will say that, I have forgiven you, I love you, let's still be here together. And then now they're keeping tabs on you. You can't breathe, you can't move. Everything you do points to the fact that you're doing it again, or you can do it again, and all that. So when you eventually say that, I have forgiven you, and I want us to still be here together, what have you done, and what is expected of you? But Ariel, where we are so far, I don't know if you want to make any points, and then you can move on with what I'm just asking.
Okay. So I think Reverend mentioned what I was thinking about, in that people's choices have absolutely nothing to do with us. And if we hang on to people's choices, trying to prevent them from making their choices, we are putting ourselves into a state of forgetting ourselves and affecting our whole mental well-being. Because what someone is thinking, what makes someone move their right hand, or someone to put food in their mouth at a particular time or think a particular way, it's totally out of anybody's control. And so I won't even think of what can I do to prevent this person from doing what they are going to do. You can't do that. I mean, like I always say, it's not our job to change anyone. It's our job to actually change ourselves in a way that what people do would not impact our health and our well-being. So what, I mean, container or protective measures have you put around yourself? Which one of them is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a tool, and you can use it all the time by choice, that I'm using this because it benefits me. Now let's imagine, like Reverend said, anything that affects you from home affects you in all the eight dimensions of your life. So it's going with you, not with the other person. So it's important that we understand the differences with forgiveness and holding on and paying the person back and all that. A lot of people think if I don't forgive, then I'm punishing the other person, which is a big lie. The anger, the person doesn't feel it. The frown on your beautiful face, it's not on that person's face. That fear that you feel when you see them, it's the person feels none of
it. Ariel, that's a punchline. Say it again. The frown on
that frown on your beautiful face,
and especially if it's a lady, that it will be cracking your makeup, you see.
Yeah, I mean, but I know how it feels when you are hurt by a loved one, and I have recently had that experience when a loved one did something that broke me, crushed me. After processing it over and over, I realized it takes courage to love. If you don't have courage, you will just be running away, helter-skelter all the time. You know, you have to have courage to stand by a decision you have made at the altar. That's what it takes. Yes, that's what it takes. So you can't control people's choices, but the choice to forgive is yours to hold.
Beautiful.
And if you choose not to do it, then you go with the consequences of holding on all that ugly face because you're upset the whole day with people in your life, and it doesn't serve anybody.
Oh yeah. My dear, it's one of the things that personally I think God has blessed me with, cause me, I can't stand tension. I can't stand when there is, you know, acrimony, yeah. Like you bored, then I can't do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And very early I came to believe that you can offend somebody, like offenses, right. They are inevitable.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of them, yeah, you don't want to think about some of the things that you deliberately do. Right. But some of the things that happen in our daily lives at home, some of them are so inevitable.
Yeah.
And then, and I want to believe that if we have an argument, it is because we're disagreeing. You're not my enemy.
No, we have two different perspectives.
But I've gone somewhere before. I was handling a class, like it was a marriage class, and I was telling them that I don't see how, because you're upset with your wife, it's raining, then you know you are the one who drops them off. You're angry, so you drive the car and you go, and you leave the person there to try and figure out how you get home. Eventually, when you patch up, how do you think the person will continue to feel about you? Better take the person, sit in the car, and don't talk. But the person is not your enemy. You had an argument and you needed to get past it. Yeah. But your responsibilities towards your partner, you can't withhold them. Yeah. You can't withhold them. But I guess we're very different people and it takes time for us to get there. But let's come back to the big one that I want to ask now. I asked it earlier, and I'll start with you, PG. So I have forgiven you. Abi, you said I should forgive. I've forgiven you. I love you. I'm not letting you go. We're here. What have you done when you say you have forgiven this person? And let's talk about some of these grave offenses. But now you're making me not go there somehow, because we're just learning that these offenses are very subjective.
Yeah.
The one that you think that you is grave may really be nothing to somebody. Right. But some of the ones that we know are, I mean, deal breakers.
Yeah.
You are, I mean, cheating is one of them. You're withholding like financial information, proper financial information from somebody. You have a terrible health condition that can probably make you not have children,
right,
and you decide not to say.
Right.
Sorry. And then you go into the marriage with somebody. I mean, there are some of these very, very big things that, okay, people don't even know how to get out of those situations.
Right.
Because then you're stuck in it. And then you want me to forgive. And we have looked at all the things that this forgiveness will do. So I've processed it. They've gone through all of it. And yes, they have decided that no problem. I forgive you. This means that a new journey is beginning.
Right.
Question now is, and I still want to ask you the way I was asking it.
Yeah.
What have you done? What have you committed to? I'm not talking about the offender.
Yeah.
You, the offended. What have you committed to when you say that you have forgiven? What does it mean? What are expectations from this person?
Right.
And I'm asking all of these because quite often than not, I have forgiven you, but I am not forgetting. And I am not forgetting means that if you cough, it points to what you did.
Yeah.
If you sneeze, it points to what you did. If you eat your food in a certain way, it points to what, if you drink water. So what have you done?
Right. Adam, I think that when people say, I have forgiven you, mm-hmm. first and foremost, they need to understand the magnitude of that responsibility.
Yeah.
Because once you put yourself in a position to try and be a Messiah or try to be a savior or try and be the guy who is acting Jesus or acting God, you need to understand that it also comes with a certain responsibility. One of them is whether you are ready to forgive the person and still live in the same space with that person, knowing very well that every day you see this person,
yeah,
it is going to remind you. So there is that. There are specific actions, like you rightly said, that will always remind you of the thing. So assuming if it was infidelity,
yeah,
for instance, and you get to find out, each time you are with the person in bed, you know, these thoughts will always cross your mind. You understand, like,
yeah,
so how was it like? And you know, so you realize that you are in the mood, but then you are sort of turned off or tuned out. You understand? Because you are not concentrating on what you're doing. You have too many things running through your head. And that has its own health implication. That has its own general ambience implication. Because there's always going to be tension.
Yeah.
When you cough, you know, it has a different meaning. You went out, you're supposed to come back at 5 o'clock. You came at 6 o'clock. It has different meaning. You know, like, so you would have to understand some of these things. And if you appreciate them, the next thing is, how prepared are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to find ways of managing your emotions, because it's a decision you personally made to forgive. So you cannot say, I've forgiven you, and still be throwing emotional tantrums every now and then. You cannot say, I've forgiven you. I mean, if you had walked away, probably the person would have understood. They would have cried for a month and then probably moved on.
They will get better.
Yes. But then you're going to stay with the person for 2 years. You keep haunting the person. You keep tormenting the person. So there is an emotional aspect of it which affect both of you. And so you need to go through some form of therapy. You don't just get up and say, I have forgiven you, and then you are staying. Do you even understand your own emotions?
Exactly.
Do you understand the mental implication of the path you have chosen? So go through therapy. Let a competent person walk you through it. Then again, I also think that sometimes people are in shock at the time they are saying, I forgive you. And I know this because most often in sessions, after they are talking, and then they give you this impression that, oh, so it happened and I forgave. It happened and I forgave. The more you ask questions, it's like gradually you see them unraveling. You see them falling apart. Then you realize that they didn't really deal with the trauma or the pain. They just sort of, they moved on. You know, everybody expects you to forgive. It's fine. We are Bema. Bema and Kasa Bibri. You just keep quiet. If you want to stay, don't talk about this. Because it's, you know, it's an African thing, it's an ego thing. So you keep quiet. For a woman, it's a traditional role. You are a woman. These things, men will always be this. So you stay. But when you begin to engage them, that you have to live through the pain, really live the experience, then you realize that that forgiveness they said they had forgiven, they didn't. They simply put the thing in some vault. Mm. But the thing is awake and alive and, you know, growling and looking for a chance to roar. You get what I mean? So the slightest opportunity they get a meltdown or they blow up.
I know.
You know, so sometimes when we say we forgive, we need to work on ourselves. First, we need to understand the consequence of that decision.
Yeah.
And then we work on ourselves. For me, if you can do these two, just these two things, your forgiveness can actually, you know, get some mileage.
So what you're trying to say is that until you do these things, because you did mention from the beginning that you saying you have forgiven is a responsibility you have taken on.
Upon yourself.
And those responsibilities definitely will have to be followed with certain actions.
Exactly.
And the actions will be you learning to manage your emotions. And then and in doing that, you definitely may need therapy.
Therapy, exactly.
And it is when you go through this therapy or get this help, that's what will help you to be
actually
able to
tell whether
that you have forgiven.
You have forgiven.
Because then if you find yourself doing, like you mentioned, where are you coming from? Why have you done this?
Then you haven't forgiven.
Remember?
It's conditional.
We did a story. We had a story here. There was a story we treated from somebody who said they cheated on their partner.
Yeah.
And then now every time the man will ask, like, does he do it like I do it? Yeah. And things like, meanwhile, he says he has forgiven,
forgiven.
You. So if you are there, it means forgiveness hasn't taken place.
It hasn't taken place. Maybe you are spar to forgive, but you are still dealing with significant pain.
Mm.
So go through that pain.
Okay.
Let get someone to help you deal with it.
Okay.
You understand? Yeah, because, yeah.
So there is the aspiration to forgive,
exactly.
But you actually may not have forgiven.
Exactly. When people choose to stay back, not for any personal gain or for anything, not even for the children, not for anything, but you know, I like this person. That you know that they love the person, but have you actually come to a place of complete forgiveness where you can let go of the pain? Now that becomes a different conversation altogether, and that is where you might need help.
I actually think everybody who is listening to this show this morning should send us a message and say, I love Home Affairs. Because I am actually really enjoying this conversation, the thoughts and the perspectives. I tell you, I kid you not, these conversations will better your home. I'm sure most of you are beginning to look into yourself and go like, oh, really? Really? So I really didn't forgive. Then your unforgiveness will now become a sin unto yourself.
Exactly.
So I'm waiting for the messages. 0551111997. Just send I love Home Affairs. You don't have to ask any questions. Kofi and Ariel, I'm coming to you very soon. But the joy of every parent is to see their children grow healthy and become more intelligent and physically fit. To achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients which can promote their well-being. One of the best of such nutritious foods is Vitamilk soy milk drink. Vitamilk is made from whole grain soybean, which is a good source of plant protein, and it is enriched with omega 3, 6, and 9. It also has calcium and all the essential nutrients and multivitamins recommended for your daily living. It has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, no preservatives. So choose Vitamilk Champ for your children today, because the protein, the calcium, the omega 3, 6, and 9 in Vitamilk Champ has proven to help your adorable children grow smarter, healthier, and stronger every day. Vitamilk also comes in its regular soy milk drink. You can also have it in the energy booster with caffeine, the choco, the banana, the strawberry. You can buy it in the 250 mils or the 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. Adanse Travels is at it again. Adanse Travels is thrilled to present an exclusive group travel package to the breathtaking city of Cape Town, South Africa, from the 22nd to the 29th of August. Now, for just $1,700, experience the beauty of Cape Town like never again. $1,700, they're like, we'll go with Basu. I beg you, it is $1,700. Your journey will begin with a return flight ticket from Accra, landing you in the heart of one of the world's most stunning cities. For 6 nights, indulge in luxury hotel accommodation, waking up each morning to breathtaking views of the city. Wander through the lush and scenic winelands, tasting some of the finest wines that Africa has to offer. Experience the panoramic views atop the iconic Table Mountain, not forgetting the guided tour of the historic Robben Island and also more exciting attractions. Time no day, so just don't let this opportunity slip away. Secure your spot now and enjoy an unforgettable adventure with your friends and family. Call Adanse on 053-100-8550 or 059-5500-817 to book your seats. For more information, you want to visit adansetravels.com. Adanse at 11. What's your vibe? Why don't you go on and discover the rich, creamy taste of Dano milk that perfectly complements your breakfast to deliver that delightful flavor you've always craved. Dano milk is fortified with vitamin A and D, and it's also a source of protein, calcium, vitamins B2 and 12, potassium and phosphorus, and all of this will keep you nourished every day. Get your quality Dano Cool Cow instant powdered milk for an unparalleled taste experience and your nourishment. Dano milk, go for it. This advert is FDA approved. Okay, Adanse has another vibe. This August, again, pack your bags for an 11-day Arabian adventure with Adanse Travels for just $1,750. Now, from the 17th of August, when is 17th? Next week. You want to enjoy the best of what Dubai has to offer, from its breathtaking cityscapes to thrilling desert adventures. And on the 19th of August, witness the epic live performance of Ifeokuma hitmaker, yay, Kofi Kinata, right in the heart of the Dubai desert. It promises to be nothing short of fun, exciting and unforgettable memories. Seats are filling fast, so hurry. Call Adanse Travels now on 053-100-8550 or 059-5500-817 to book your spot. You can also visit adansetravels.com for more information. Adanse at 11, what's your vibe? 11 days in Dubai with Kofi Kinata. What a break it will be. Okay, so someone sends a message. Last year, November, there was a conversation about exploring the path to healing after an affair in marriage. And there was a case that was used for this discussion. Okay. Husband cheated and the helper for 10 years till wife found the 10 years. Okay. I think today's conversation is more like a part three of that. How's the wife holding up and responding after all this while? Okay, so what happens is some of these things, when they happen, you have the conversations, you give them to, you know, some of our guests. Sometimes they have people they also want to go and see, so you encourage them to go and see the people they trust. And I don't know if, and you know, this is Home Affairs, these are not stories we're telling. Do the people want us to come back and report their issues? I'm not sure. And remember that some of these conversations, when they come up, we ask, can we talk about it? It's also to help people deal with similar issues when they come up in their homes. Because somebody's door key can open another person's door. Is that it? That's an adage like that. I'm not sure how that sounds in English. Okay, so now to you, Ariel. When you say you have forgiven, what have you done? PG makes us understand that, first of all, you have taken on a responsibility. You have taken on a grave responsibility, just as how grave the offense was. And you will have to learn to manage your emotions, because almost everything will emanate from there. And then in managing your emotions, you would realize definitely that you will need therapy. And it is through that therapy that you will realize if you have truly forgiven or if there are things you need to do to help you. Because saying you have forgiven that instant may just be an aspiration to forgive, but you don't really know what it takes to forgive. And if you find yourself going back to talk about the issues, to throw tantrums, to get upset, to keep referring your partner to what they have done, to keep being overly suspicious when they also know in the depths of their hearts that they have actually repented from what they have done, then you know that you haven't really attained that forgiveness that you say you have given. So you need to do this. Ariel. Please check your microphone. I think it's off. We can't hear you.
Oh, can
okay.
you hear me
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. When you say you've forgiven someone, it's an intentional decision you have made to let go, which is the responsibility you've taken to let go. If you realize you still keep going back to the same conversation, like we said, or you keep checking if the person is doing that again, it means you forgave in the moment, but you haven't released it. I mean, let go, the word let go. Because if you forgive someone, you don't have control again to say, I'm watching you every minute to see if you are not going to do it again. That is actually unforgiveness in itself, because you're putting the person in prison now. So if you say you're forgiving, there's that part at the beginning to let go of that thing and not revisit it again. But if you keep revisiting it, it means emotionally it's still there for you. And as people who have sessions with, like PG is saying, we get to talk to people and we realize they say, I forgive him and I still feel the pain when they are talking about it, which means we don't understand forgiveness in itself. That's what I think. We don't let go of the emotional pain it gave us at the time we even say we are forgiving. When you forgive, you have to let go, and the person needs to also regain your trust again. If you don't give back that trust, then there's a crack. So forgiveness comes with letting go, coming also with letting the person regain your trust. But because we don't want to be hurt again, or because we haven't processed the emotion well, to really release the trauma it has on us, there's a bit of mistrust there. So when we see something happening, we know that this person that I said I've forgiven, it's possible you will do this thing again. When you say you're forgiving, you need to let go. The person needs to regain your trust. Then you have to let go emotionally. And that is the part that sometimes people need to go to therapy. People need to speak to a counselor or a coach so that they'll be walked through a perspective shift. Because if you don't shift the perspective about the narratives that you have, you might not have actually gone through the forgiving process. That's why sometimes having support or speaking to someone can be very helpful, like PG is saying. But a lot of times we use the word, oh, I'm forgiving the person, when intentionally, we haven't processed it, we haven't released it, we don't trust the person again. So if you want to forgive, let go of that conversation, release it. If you've been able to do that and trust the person again, and you are open, or not, you are not closing around you trying to protect yourself, then you haven't fully forgiven. So what I think the person needs to do is acknowledge their own values. Acknowledge your values. Check through yourself the emotions and admit what has been done to you. Did it create shame for you? Did it create guilt for you? What did you feel? If you name the emotion you felt, it creates anger for you. Once you have this conversation, I'm angry. But when you say you are hurt, you haven't mentioned the emotion you are feeling. You need to find exactly the emotion you are feeling and then find the tools you can use to release that emotion. That is when you can regain trust for the person again. But if that emotion is still there, but you've just used the words, oh, I've forgiven you, then you haven't really done the work. And if anything shows its face small, you are going to, reverse back to that conversation. So to forgive is to let go, is to let the person regain your trust again, is to walk through the emotion you feel, be very honest about it with yourself, and find tools and resources you can use to heal that trauma that you felt when that thing happened. But if you can always revisit it and you feel like, I don't trust this person, then you've not walked through the forgiving process properly. Yeah.
Great, thank you. We all added on that you will have to, I was wondering what that meant. They will have to regain your trust.
Yep.
The offender will have to regain the trust of the offended.
Yes. No, okay. No. The offended has to trust the offender if you've forgiven them.
Okay, so that is your responsibility as an offended person.
The thing has not been released.
That's a lot of work for you.
So it's a lot of work. And sometimes if we don't process it well, the mistrust alone is what makes us always say, I want to check what you're doing. Now I'm checking your phone, because you don't trust the person anymore.
Great.
Yeah.
Before we end this, right, last week, this week, and come next week, we're looking at some conversations. And I would really appreciate it if the three of you will do this last one, then you can rest, then we'll come back. We're thinking about having a conversation. Well, let me put it out there. You will love it. You will love it. We're looking at having a conversation about dealing with suspicions, insecurities, and mistrust. Fiji, this is something you would love. I knew it. Kofi, you the same. I knew it.
We'll be ready.
Yay.
Kofi, you're speaking for all of us.
Yes.
I'm speaking for all of you, yes.
No, and these things have destroyed relationships. Yeah. You know, you're just there. You are sniffing things all over the place. You haven't seen, you have heard. And then you're creating problems in your own home. So we're looking at having this conversation. And then we can, you know, end the series and then we move on to something else. And we also have our Becoming Mr. and Mrs. Forum coming up. Please remember from last year.
Right.
We were preparing for the funeral, and then you were still very magnanimous with it. Kofi, I think you were out of town.
When was that?
We did Becoming Mr. and Mrs. It was a marriage seminar.
Yes, yes.
You were out of town. Yes. Ariel was on. We're planning for it again this year. It was a really good one. So we're planning for it. We'll put the dates out and everything. Sure. Great. So, yeah, continuing with you, Kofi. What have you taken on when you say that you have forgiven?
So, Adam, we have to remember that forgiveness is a process. It is not a one-time thing when you say, oh, I've forgiven you and that's it. Sometimes we have to forgive and do it over and over again for the same offense, because there'll be times when you remember it, there'll be times when you see this person and you feel very resentful towards them, and you have to pinch yourself and say, you know what, I'm letting go. I'm not going to try to remember this again. And that's why the whole thing about this conversation when it comes to your spouse is that it's difficult to forgive because you have, to forgive and move on because you see them every day. It's much easier sometimes to forgive a friend than to forgive your own husband or your own wife.
True.
Because you are in the same space with them all the time. However, as Ariel rightly said, when you say you're forgiving, you're letting go certain things. You're letting go the anger, the resentment, the bitterness and the sadness and all of it. So this is a choice that you make so that you can move on, so that you can live in peace with them. But the part of moving on also means in a relationship, if you want to maintain the relationship, remember that unforgiveness can lead to divorce if you are unable to forgive. Yes. But in a relationship, you are forgiving and then attempting to reconcile so that you can live with them and go back to the what we call in law the status quo ante, which is the way things used to be.
Mm.
You know, so that when you got angry and you say, I'm not cooking for you anymore, now you're going back to cooking for them. When you got angry and you say that because you slept with another person, I'm not going to be intimate with you anymore, now you're going back to be intimate with them. When you got angry and now you stop talking to each other, now you're going to try to go back and have conversations again, because at the end of the day, you're fighting for your marriage. You're fighting for that relationship. You're fighting to keep the marriage thriving, or, you know. And so if you are not able to go back to these things that you used to do before, it means that you're still holding on to the hurt and the pain, and that would make it difficult for you to live in peace with this other person.
Okay, so when you have the mentality of there are many fishes in the ocean, then that one there, you know that you can't work at it.
Exactly. The relationship is done because you're moving on.
Okay, great. Now to the... Yes.
I want to say something to what Reverend said. And I mean, on that, I want to thank Uncle Ibo so much for many years ago that forgiveness